Well, we're going to have our scripture reading now, which, as when we previously did Blessed to Be a Blessing, is from Genesis chapter 12. Andrew, thank you.
Our scripture reading today is from Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 9, the call of Abraham. Abraham. The Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all people on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram travelled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he went on towards the hill east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram set out and continued towards the Negev. Here ends the reading.
So as I said earlier, our theme today is blessed to be a blessing. And hopefully that is always why we come along to church, knowing that we are blessed to receive a blessing, to be blessed to be a blessing. And as I started to think about this theme early last week now, I decided that I would take a walk around the Lace Hill Estate, and that I would listen to Jeff's sermon from last Sunday. And it was when I walked around the estate Tuesday morning, and as I walked across the playing field, I heard Jeff saying, "What would you do if Tim, our minister, announced that he had a message from God that we, the people of this church, would meet with God on Tuesday morning on Lace Hill? And," I continue to quote here, "and to gather on the recreation ground over there by the community centre." That was exactly where I was when I heard those words. And I want to ask, where were you? Jeff did continue by saying, "Would you go along?" And I abbreviate, so I cut out a few bits here, Jeff. Sorry about that. But, "Or would you, like the Israelites, prefer to ask Tim to go alone and upload a recording to YouTube for you to view later?" Actually, I didn't know Moses had the YouTube option, but hey. But clearly that's what you preferred. Or where were you? But I want to say now, here on this day, that the Lord will be on Lace Hill Recreation Ground, playing field, call it what you will, this afternoon between 1 and 4. Because God is present everywhere, isn't he, after all? But especially where his people gather. Will you be there? Even if you can't be there, will you be there in prayer and lift us up before him? So we can all be a part of that, whether you're expecting that to be there or not. And maybe you'll need to go home, pick up some lunch or have a bite to eat. But hey, it's going for 3 hours this afternoon. There is some time to get there. So as we think about that, let's think for a little about the call and the promise to Abram, as he was called at this stage, but I will probably keep referring to him as Abraham, the name by which we know him more often today. The name which God slightly tweaked his name from Abram, meaning exalted father, to Abraham, father of many. And We find in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, Abraham receiving this call to go to the place that the Lord would show him, saying to him, you will be blessed, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Of course, when we hear God's call for ourselves, it requires faith, doesn't it? It requires faith to go and do as the Lord asks us to do. It will perhaps not surprise you to know that at least a couple of times when I've moved from one church to another, including moving from my previous church to here, it was the call of Abraham that sort of sparked this once again. And, you know, you listen out to these things and you do ask, Lord, where are you calling to go? I'm willing, but show me where it is you want me to go. God told Abraham, go to the land I will show you. I think it was 9 years ago that we first were called to go to Lace Hill. Initially, we were planning our own fun day, actually. And then it turned out that Buckingham Town Council were also planning a fun day, and they kind of waited to see what we did. And we eventually decided it'd actually be better to do it with them. Not least because they could then do the risk assessment and all that went with it. It was a lot easier that way. And I think actually it has been right over these years not to go it alone, but to work together with our community. But as a church, don't we often step out in faith to serve, not quite knowing sometimes what it is that we're going to serve in, or not quite sure how it's going to go? We don't always know the results after we've done it, but we trust God to use our efforts. Because we can do no other, really, can we? You know, we can't do things in our own strength. We never really achieved anything for God on our own. It's always with Him, always by His Spirit. But I think we can take encouragement, can't we? That before we go to be a blessing to others, that God says to us through Abraham, I will bless you and you will be a blessing. It's not in our own strength. It's not specifically by our own efforts. It's because God has already blessed us. And our promise really goes right back to the time of Abraham. When God said to him, I will bless you and you will be a blessing. God's blessings were not just for Abraham. God's blessings were ultimately to overflow from Abraham to others. They would be passed on down the generations. I mentioned that the name Abraham meant exalted father, and I suppose even that was a bit of, would have called him perhaps distress, because we heard, didn't we, at 75 years of age he was called. I was thinking to myself, actually, if you're not yet 75, you're getting there. We're all getting closer, aren't we, if we are below the age of 75. And if you are beyond the age of 75, you are not off the hook in going for God. You are still called. But Abraham was 75, and he's saying that his descendants would bless, be a blessing. And he didn't have any descendants. He didn't have any children. And that is the story that unfolds beyond Genesis chapter 12. Eventually, as we know, if you know the story, God did bless Abraham and his wife Sarah. His name was changed from exalted father to Abraham, father of many. And down the generations, Abraham's blessing has been passed on. It wasn't just for him. And it's a reminder, really, for us that the blessing that we receive is not just for us. We are not blessed just to be comfortable in our existence, but we are blessed spiritually. We're blessed materially. Yes, we are blessed in terms of our relationships with others so that we can share with those around us. We can love our neighbors. These are blessings that are meant to overflow. Abraham obeyed. He did as God said, and it changed the course of history. Through Abraham's line, ultimately, came Jesus. You look at the genealogy in Matthew's gospel, it goes back to Abraham. If you look at the genealogy in Luke, it also goes back down to Abraham. And in Jesus, of course, Abraham was obedient, but in Jesus we see the ultimate obedience and ultimate blessing to the world. For Jesus came to save people, from all that had separated them from God. Jesus comes still today, but he came to die on the cross so that the blessing to Abraham was not just restricted to one people, a small people in a small place in a just quite a remote part of the world, but has been spread through the world so that all can know God through the promise that came by Abraham through Jesus by the cross. Being obedient leads us to make an impact. And our obedience as people of God, whether it is maybe in hospitality, as it will be this afternoon, whether it is in giving, whether it is in the bits of community outreach that we do all over the place, has ripple effects, doesn't it, beyond what we can see. Sometimes we do see the impact of what we do as God's people. Lives can be changed immediately, quickly, and when it happens like that, it's wonderful, isn't it? Hopefully we've seen people who have just suddenly got it. They've heard the call to follow Jesus, they've suddenly got it, and their life changes just like that. At other times, and more often in my experience, we may wonder, what is the point? Does what we do really make any difference at all to the people that we seek to do it for? Yet I have a picture. I imagine us in heaven. People coming up to us saying, when you did this, when you said that, it prompted me to find out more about Jesus. That was when I first knew about God's love for me. Do you have that kind of inkling? Do you imagine that with me? And we, when we enter into eternity in that way, we might be saying similar things to others who impacted our own faith journeys, and we will see how God was at work through the things that seemed so insignificant at the time or seemed to have no impact whatsoever. So our obedience to God does lead us to make an impact. And I'm sure that that will be the case this afternoon. And God willing, we may know that this afternoon, but otherwise we may through it, may know it in the months and the years to come. As Abraham went, he didn't just go and go storming ahead to the place that God showed him. He went obediently, yes, but he didn't neglect along the way to stop and to worship. He built altars in our reading. In verse 7, he built an altar at the great tree of Moreh. And he also built an altar close to Bethel, which in itself means house of God. And these became places of worship and of gratitude. I think, yeah, we should stop. It's good to stop this morning and be grateful that we have been able to be a part of this community that is around us as we meet in this school hall. It's been good to be out there year on year as a regular presence, inflicting our bright green polo shirts on the masses that will come along. Actually, I'm getting used to the colour now. It's not really my colour green, but, you know, I've got used to it over the years. And we should thank God that he has enabled us to do that. We should thank God that through that over the years, we've also been able to do a few other things, like the carol singing that's maybe gone a little bit by the wayside, but perhaps we need to resurrect that when we get closer to Christmas. But we have been known as a church in the community. And what we do this afternoon is more. We know that it's more than offering tea and coffee and giving people the chance to play games and have fun. It's an offering of love and, if you like, that sacred duty that people of Abraham's time, people of Jesus' time, knew so well, that sacred duty of hospitality, of just offering what we have to those that come into our orbit. So our serving out there is an act of worship. So we host, or we are a part of this event this afternoon, this Lace Hill Community Fun Day, not just to entertain, although that's good, that's fun, but to build relationships and to offer love and to share joy. I don't know about you, but after almost 10 years living on the estate and seeing people around and seeing people come to the fun day, there's usually quite a few people that I know that come. And you may find that as well, those of you who are on this estate and those of you who've been coming along to the fun day for a long time. People come from further than just Lace Hill. And we build relationships through that. And we are there to give freely of our time and our resources. We're not looking for any contributions, are we? We are giving freely because God freely gives to us. And as we ourselves receive God's blessings, we look for ways to pass them on. And each one of us here is part of that blessing too. Every one of us here has something to offer. Everyone who is there this afternoon can bring something of yourself. It may be a smile. See, I'm just smiling to see if you smile back there. It didn't work very well, but it may be a smile. And, of course, smiles are a way of showing God's love, really, aren't they? It's amazing. You walk around, I mean, I walk around the estate occasionally in my own world, but mostly saying hello and mostly smiling because I hope you think I'm fairly smiley. I think I am. And it often gets a response, certainly more than the miserable faces that we might have sometimes. It does get a response. But we also may have a helping hand, might we, as we are assisting people in the coconut shy or through tea and coffee or through whatever it is we're doing this afternoon. Or it may be through a kind word, just having a conversation. There may be those there that haven't had a conversation for a while. Those on their own, perhaps, who just come along to make a connection. So you can be a part of the blessing too. So I want to remind you, and I promised you a shorter service today, and we're nearly done with the sermon. How about that? That's value for money, really, isn't it? In a sort of reverse way. We are blessed to be a blessing. Simple message today, isn't it? We are blessed to be a blessing. And just want to remind you of that. And that whether you are a part of our church here today or maybe just here as a one-off, God has a purpose for each one of us to bless us that we might bless others.